You're listening to the Live, Love, Engage podcast. On today's show, we're going to be talking about the healing power of our planet and how portals and spirits are here to help us. Stay tuned. I am Gloria Grace Rand, founder of The Love Method and author of the number one Amazon bestseller, Live, Love, Engage: How to Stop Doubting Yourself and Start Being Yourself. In this podcast, we share practical advice from a spiritual perspective on how to live fully, love deeply, and engage authentically so you can create a life and business with more impact, influence, and income. Welcome to Live, Love, Engage. Namaste and welcome. Welcome, welcome. I am so delighted to be with you today with a guest on our show. And ever since I discovered Amy Dempster, I have been wanting her to be here because what she is doing is some really cool work in the world. So first off, I'm going to tell you all a little bit about her in a second, but I would like to just welcome you to Live, Love, Engage, Amy.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm looking forward to our chat.
Yeah, absolutely. So let me tell you a little bit about why I was really intrigued by what Amy is doing in the world. So she helps us to actually understand the healing power of the earth. And what began as openly sharing her spiritual journey on her popular blog, Following Hawks, has become a resource for others wanting to learn how to communicate with nature and share their own unique healing gifts with the earth. And she lives in Northwest Montana, and together with the spirits of the land there, she tends 7 portals along with any grid keeping work she's assigned. And don't worry, for those of you going, what? Portals? What are you talking about, Gloria? I'm going to ask her about that because my only experience so far with portals is watching this show. Oh, and I don't even remember the name of it, but something on the History Channel that my husband's going to be, oh yes, the spirit, I don't know. I don't even remember it now, but whatever. It doesn't matter. Anyway, she also leads the Earth Tenders Academy, an immersive online journey to help others reestablish their connection with their ancient ancestors, learn to communicate with these seen and unseen forces in their environment, and respectfully offer their healing energy to places in need. And I think that's really an awesome mission to have, and I applaud you for doing that. So there's so many ways I want to get started. I think before we get to the portals, though, I would love for you to just share a little bit about how you got here. You know, what was the spiritual journey that brought you to be able to do all these amazing things that you do?
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, other than growing up on a farm and so being, you know, kind of immersed in nature as a child growing up, not that I recall was I talking to trees or, you know, anything of the sort. And so I very much, you know, I went to college, I got a job, I moved to the suburbs, all of the things that most of us do. And as the years went by, I was really feeling that disconnect from nature and just feeling like I needed to, you know, be surrounded by nature more than I was. But in 2008, I started having a series of unusual encounters with hawks, you know, the birds. Mm. And it was at that point, I had been doing some meditating and I was, you know, kind of open to these types of ideas, but I didn't know really much at all about this world. And, but really, as I kept having these interactions that just were out of the ordinary enough to make me start asking questions about what is this? Where are they coming from? Why are they, you know, seeming to communicate with me? And at the time, you know, there really wasn't, the internet wasn't nearly as developed as it is today. There weren't a lot of people online talking about these types of things. There were a couple of books I was able to pick up, but they're more about kind of animal communication and that type of thing. And so, you know, I kind of set it aside and, you know, just kind of continued on my personal journey until 2013 when I, in meditation, very clearly received a message to move where there was pine trees and water. And so, you know, my husband and I discussed it. We were open to a move. We didn't know where that meant. And in a pretty short number of months, all of the pieces fell into place for us to move here to Montana, where we are surrounded by pine trees and water. And it was shortly after that, that while just out on walks in my neighborhood, I started realizing I was having messages come into my head, or, you know, thoughts that I didn't put there, or specific instructions. And it took me a little while to figure out that it was the trees communicating with me. And initially just asking if I would help pick up garbage while I was out walking. It was very utilitarian in its communication. And so that really kind of took me another level deeper to just say, okay, what is this? You know, nature is communicating with me. Maybe I can communicate back. And so it's really been kind of years of trial and error and picking up bits and pieces from here and there. And really, once I learned and understood how to channel, that's really kind of when the floodgates opened and a lot of information started coming in. And I guess you could say the rest is history.
Very cool. You mentioned earlier, though, that you were having these sort of interactions with hawks. Can you describe like one of those where you were like, okay, what is going on here?
Yeah. So initially it was things like they would fly right in front of me, you know, and then land in a tree next to me while I was walking. Or so I kind of started noticing just that they were coming closer to me. And it always happened when I was alone. It never happened. You know, I would always have to say, I promise this really happened. but, you know, another time I had one fly up and almost like a knock on my window in my house while I was just sitting and reading. And when I got up to look, it was sitting on the fence right outside my window. And so I was having kind of those types of experiences. And then one day in particular, I was I had been very sick for, you know, a handful of weeks. I was just not getting better. And so I went home early from work and realized that our dog was very, very ill. And so I had to take the dog to the vet, and it wasn't good news. And I was very upset and I was very sick, and it was just, you know, kind of worst day ever kind of a thing.
Right.
And so I was sitting in the waiting room of the vet's office, you know, trying to get my husband on the phone to talk to him about the dog. And this woman walks into the vet's office and is carrying this giant cage that's covered. And she sets it down right next to my feet and goes to the counter and says, I'm here with the injured hawk. And I think I said out loud, right sitting there, like, you've got to be kidding me. Like, how is there a hawk in a cage sitting, you know, inches away from me right now while all of these things, you know, kind of had been building to that? And I think that was really the moment where I'm like, something's happening here. There is a message that I'm supposed to be receiving, and it's coming by way of the hawks. And so, you know, I kind of laugh now, especially, you know, when you name your blog. I name my blog Following Hawks. And so everybody tells me their hawk stories. And I have come to realize, I think they have a role in the kind of awakening of humanity, because so many people have these kind of interactions with hawks in particular. I mean, other animals as well, but hawks seem to figure in a lot. And I think they initiate that questioning in us, and that, you know, what is happening? Maybe I should, you know, try and find out more. And that really leads us on our spiritual journeys.
Wow. That's really interesting. Yeah. It's birds are, I think, even in general, can be that way of, you know, and maybe it's because they, you know, they fly close to God.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so they have maybe there's some sort of connection like that, and that they can. But I love how it was like, especially you're not feeling well, your dog's not feeling well, and then an injured hawk on top of it.
It's right. Like,
wow. Yeah, that's tremendous. So tell me a little bit more about, you talk about the spirits of the land. So can you explain who or what they are, and what do they do, and how maybe you interact with them?
Yeah. So, you know, the spirits of the land are very much present everywhere in the world. Like, no matter where you live, there are spirits of the land around you. They're just, you know, in another dimension or another plane, but they are very much working and carrying out their duties, I guess you could say, whether we're aware or conscious of them or not. But they are kind of, as they sound, very involved and interested in what is happening on the land. And the land itself, you know, holds the energy of what occurs there. So whether that's, you know, happiness and prayer and, you know, spiritual type work, or whether it's trauma and violence and abuse, you know, and I think probably all of us can say that we have visited a place before and thought that we really could palpably feel that energy of that place, whether good, bad, or otherwise. And that's created by, you know, human interaction on the land over a long period of time. And so particularly in places where a lot of trauma has happened, usually there are spirits there working on kind of getting it back into balance or doing healing work with it. But they need a human to help really ground it into our reality, right? There's so much, only so much they can do in their dimension. And they need somebody in this physical dimension to help ground the energy and the work into this plane. And so, I perceive them in a number of different ways. They're, the kind of main one that I initially ask to speak with anytime I first interact with a place, I call the keeper of the land. And that it's an energy that can take all kinds of different forms. And even, you know, if we both ask to speak with the keeper of a particular place, we might perceive them differently. It's just kind of how our brains are translating, like, oh, it looked like a praying mantis to me, or, oh, it looked like a light being to me. You know, they look like all kinds of different things, or they'll show themselves in all kinds of different ways. But that keeper of the land is really the energy that is kind of responsible for a bigger area than just your home. So, you know, like the whole neighborhood, or, you know, sometimes they'll show me on a map, like, you know, oh, I go all the way over to this river over here, or whatever the case may be. And so when you have some kind of, you know, undescribed issues going on in an area, that's the spirit that's going to know, like, oh, that's happening because of this house three doors down and something that's happening there. Or that's happening because the waterway in this area got rerouted and now the energy is off kilter, you know, all kinds of different types of things. So that's the spirit that I most often work with and just ask, you know, what's going on here? Tell me what's happening. But then there's other kind of groups of spirits that are on the land. And so the ancestors is what I refer to, usually the indigenous spirits that are present in an area that still have, like, they are still connected in some way with that land and working the land in that way. And so, again, if there was trauma related to their removal off of the land, or, you know, battles that happened in an area, or a way in which they were using the land that they're unable to do, any of those types of things, they're the ones that I want to talk to find out, you know, how can we help resolve this? What happened? You know, what is needed in this area? And then you have things like trees and plants and fairies or Bigfoot or, you know, all kinds of other things that, you know, we were taught to believe are mythical, but are really just, again, existing in this other dimension and doing very important work for the earth. And so for the most part, humans ignore them. They just ignore us back. But if you are willing and able and interested to connect with them, they're very happy to work with us.
Very cool. So you actually, you do work with, like, people's homes, right? If they have something, some sort of issue. And so how does that work? Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, it's really interesting because every single place is different. and sometimes it's the home and sometimes it's not the home at all. And so, you know, it's really interesting. Sometimes I will tune in and I will never look at the home, engage with the home, do anything. It's all on the land, or like I say, it might be like this creek that's running behind your property. You know, there could be all kinds of different things, but For me, I tune in and energetically and just from where I am and connect with these different spirits because oftentimes on a property, it's like peeling back layers. So you may think to yourself like, oh, I have this problem or I have this particular energy that I don't like how it feels or whatever. And when I actually tune in, what I find out is like, well, there's one spirit that's kind of causing issues that's causing this type of thing happening, but we'll take care of that. Mm-hmm. And then there's this whole other thing happening over here and it's all kind of layered, you know, mm-hmm. obviously over hundreds or thousands of years of human impact, all kinds of different things have happened. And so for me, it's like, you know, peeling back one layer at a time to figure out what's going on here and how can we resolve it.
Mm, very cool. All right. Well, I think, like I said, this is all, it's so fascinating to me. I love learning about all these different ways of how people do are interacting with, you know, whether it is the trees, whether it's the land. And I just find it so fascinating. And I would encourage anyone listening to, you know, if you are at all interested in this, to do some research, you know, to go to, well, I'll share some of your contact information later, you know, but to like, you know, connect with you and to just learn more because I think it's so cool to just be able to learn a lot and to explore new ways of being able to not only heal the land, but maybe even heal ourselves in the process.
Absolutely.
I mentioned at the beginning when I was reading your bio, you tend 7 portals on the land. So what exactly is a portal and how are you tending them?
Yeah. So, portals are just a part of an earth energy grid or system that that exists here on earth. And so, you know, oftentimes they're referred to as ley lines or, you know, energy grids, any of that type of thing. But it's an electromagnetic grid that's held within the earth. And if you think about a grid, there are places where the lines cross and the energy is heightened in that area. And so in those areas where there's heightened energy, you can have a vortex or a portal, and I describe them or differentiate them by saying, you know, if a vortex is the interstate, then a portal is the exit. And so a portal has a door and a vortex doesn't. That's really the the only difference between the two. But it's really interesting because, you know, portals do connect off the planet to other locations. They connect to other times and spaces. And, you know, through watching a lot of movies and TV, we have been conditioned to believe that, you know, in order to say travel in time or go to another dimension, right, you need all this special technology. But, mm-hmm. you know, really the technology is our consciousness. And that's how we travel. That's how we, you know, shift dimensions, do all of those things. And so, you know, through meditation or a shamanic journey, you can use your consciousness to go into a portal and travel somewhere else or connect with your guides or, you know, connect with another timeline, all kinds of different things that that you might want to do. However, also with portals, there are other energies who are wanting to use them to travel and use, you know, shift their consciousness as well. And so they use portals to do that and to come and go out of our earth plane. And so there are 7 of them here on the land where I live. A lot of that is due to the fact that just the work that I've been doing here with the land over a number of years has kind of shifted the frequency in mm-hmm. such a way that it it allowed that to happen just kind of naturally. And so there was a lot of work initially for me to kind of get the energy calibrated. The portals really are a frequency match and frequency exchange. And so, you know, I think a lot of people have probably heard or experienced, you know, lower vibrational portals where maybe there's things coming in that they don't want coming in. Mm-hmm. And it's because the things moving through the portal just match the frequency of it. That's it. And mm-hmm. so you can close a portal, you can increase the frequency, you know, increase the vibration with higher vibrational, you know, music, crystals, toning, those mm-hmm. types of things help shift the vibration. So it kind of can lock out some of the things you don't want coming in. And so there was some learning curve for me to understand and experience that and kind of get the ones here functioning as they are. But yeah, that's really what they are and how they're used.
Mm, very interesting. Yeah. And I did finally remember what I was talking about at the beginning. It's this show called The Skinwalker Ranch, which is somewhere south of Montana. I forget where it is exactly.
It's in Utah. Yeah. I've heard of it. I haven't watched the show.
Yeah. Yeah. And so there have been strange things that have been happening on this ranch for like a long time now. I think even going back over 100 years. And one of the things they've talked about is that they feel like there is like a portal in this one triangle section of the land. So it is fascinating. And you're right. Yeah. People, I think, do typically, we've learned about portals through like science fiction shows and talking about, you know, traveling through time and things. But it is interesting that, you know, we do have to remember that we are, as human beings, as well as the land, we are also energy. We are made up of. We have molecules and things that are vibrating very fast, and we sort of because of the different speeds or whatever, we appear solid, but we're not really.
Exactly.
Yeah. So what is your favorite thing about what you do? What gives you the most joy about what it is?
Oh my goodness. I just love the opportunity to be outside. Number one, you know, being out and with nature is, you know, just such a wonderful experience to have that be part of what I do all of the time, especially after years of working in a cubicle or in a big building downtown. So I really love that. But, you know, it's really deeply touching and healing for me to really experience and see these ceremonies or, you know, healing work or things that are done kind of across time and space, you know, when different energies step forward that were, you know, on the land in a place fighting 150 years ago, and they want to come and sit in ceremony and heal the energy that was left behind. You know, those types of things are just so deeply touching. And to realize that we have more power and control over this type of thing than we believe. You know, I think it's very empowering to realize that, we were really taught that either these things don't exist or they're outside of our ability to decide kind of what happens or how things happen, you know, mm-hmm. Whether or not there's a ghost in your house or not, you know, like we have control over those types of things. So really kind of having those types of experiences and understanding them and seeing them from a different perspective is something I really enjoy.
Mm. And that actually just brought to mind a question because, how does, you know, some people, I think some of the other reasons, maybe they're a little either skeptical or like, you know, you talked about like fairies and things like that. They're like, mm-hmm. you know, if you grow up in a religious family and I don't even care what religion you are, whether it's, you know, Christian or Jewish or Muslim or whatever, but how do you, or can you, is there a way to reconcile, you know, how to be able to, I guess, maybe be able to help people understand or to be open. Maybe that's a better word, to be open to respecting the land and even if they don't want to necessarily, you know, go that further place into, you know, understanding portals and things like that.
Right.
I don't know if that makes any sense to you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, ultimately we all have free will here. And what I've found is that the universe very much honors our belief system. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, if we have a deeply held belief connected to our religion, that's the experience we're going to have. And, you know, I learned this in working with my own ancestors who wanted to be released from a particular religion, you know, and they've died many generations ago. And I didn't understand that. How, right? You have free will. You should, how can you still be connected to right, this? Yeah. And, you know, there were many layers that I had to learn about, you know, what this religion was really teaching people. And in connecting with them and, you know, going to some of the cemeteries where there were many people connected to this religion, what I realized was, they're all very much still here because they've been told to wait after they, you know, their physical body dies and you wait for Jesus to come back for you. That's what you do. And so you've got hundreds of years of ghosts basically sitting around cemeteries, waiting. And so it's not like, you know, you die and somebody shows up and says, let me tell you how this is really going to work. Whatever you believe is what's going to happen. And so in some ways, I think that's very comforting to people, right? If that's, if that's your religion and that are your, those are your beliefs, that's the experience you're going to have. And that may be exactly what you want and exactly what you want your experience to be. And that's perfectly fine. But I think that also, a lot of people, especially when I talk about these things that seem a little weird or a little, you know, unusual, is that I find that people are really oftentimes willing to say, oh, well, I do have this one tree in my front yard and his name is Bill. You know, it's like they know, like they're talking to the trees or the trees are talking to them. You're like, they've energetically picked up this information because it's there. And so sometimes it is just a matter of, you know, lifting your, you know, that layer of belief to say, well, okay, maybe I'm open to something, you know, being a little different than what I was told. And I, you know, I don't think in all cases, all religion is bad or in any case, but I do think that many of the teachings from a variety of different religions have been twisted over, you know, centuries and thousands of years to keep us in a place where we aren't empowered and where we don't really know, you know, how this all works, and to be dependent in many ways on the church itself or the teachings. And so, you know, if you're in that kind of, you know, questioning place of, is there more, or is this all there is? You know, I would suggest go out, take a blanket, sit under a tree with a notebook and just quietly sit and ask if there's any, you know, kind of information for you, if there's a tree that would like to communicate with you, and just see kind of what pictures or words or phrases pop in your mind, or do you feel any emotions, or, you know, how might you be telepathically receiving information from your environment already that if you, you know, tuned into consciously, there would really be a lot more there to find.
That is great advice, because I think that's ultimately what it is just be open to receive what, you know, might come through, and don't have any expectations, preconceived notions, and you can still believe, you know, what you believe, but maybe just be open to additional information that comes through. Yeah.
Right.
Awesome. Tell us before we wrap up today a little bit about this Earth Tenders Academy, because I was looking at your website and it looked very interesting. So tell our listeners and viewers on YouTube what that's all about.
Yeah, so the Earth Tenders Academy is my online course where I basically walk you through everything I know about working with the spirits of the land. But it goes from a more basic level of just, if you're new to kind of shamanic journeying or energy work, kind of how does that work? How do you protect your energy? How do you clear your house? Some of those kind of basic things. And then we get into working with our own ancient ancestors, going way back to our ancestors that had earth honoring traditions so that they can assist us as we move forward, meeting the spirits of the land at the place we live now and developing that relationship. And then stepping into more of that healing work, you know, how do we work outside of space and time? How do we work with portals and other earth energies? And then how do we do healing work? Because, you know, each of us have lifetimes of gifts held within ourselves and within our bones. And it's just a matter of unlocking them and opening them up. And so, you know, my aim with this is not to teach any kind of rigid, you know, structured, it only works this way, but to say, you know, here's some guidelines and let's go on some journeys and what happens for you. Because everybody receives information different and everybody does healing work different. And so it's really meant to be a safe space for us to explore that together and to talk about all these weird topics that, you know, you might not be able to talk about with, you know, your other friends and family. So I love being able to go on that journey with people.
Well, I can tell because it radiates from your face. For those of you who are listening and not able to see, she has this beaming smile on her face pretty much throughout the entire interview. And it's been a joy to watch. I can tell that you really do love what you do. And I'm so glad that you're here to give us a little bit of information about it today. So for those who are intrigued, maybe they want to learn how to communicate with their ancestors and or the land both, what is the best way for someone listening to be able to get in touch with you?
Yeah, well, if you go to my website, which is followinghawks.com, there is a spot to opt into my email list, at which point you'll get a video that you can watch right away all about how to connect and communicate with the spirits of the land. So you can hop right in and learn on that right away.
Awesome. Well, that's excellent. And I will have that information in the show notes for those of you who are not in a place where you can write that information down. So don't worry about it. It will be there. So thank you again for being here. I'm so glad we got to chat and I got to learn a little bit more about what you do and share you with the world so they can learn a little bit more about you as well. So thank you, Amy, for being with us on Live, Love, Engage today.
Oh, and thank you for having me. I enjoyed it.
Oh, thank you. And thank everyone who is listening and watching. I really am grateful for all of you and for the reviews that you've posted on Apple are wonderful. And now we're on a couple new places too. I'm on Podchaser, and which you can also leave a review on, as well as Good Pods. So check us out there. And I think that's going to probably do it. So until next time, as always, I encourage you to go out and live fully, love deeply, and engage authentically.
Did you know that a majority of entrepreneurs tend to discount the importance of their work? And a good number feel their success is simply due to luck. I know from personal experience that self-doubt can keep you from having the kind of life and business you desire. That's why I've created a free guide called Uniquely You, How to Move from Self-Doubt to Self-Love in 4 Simple Steps. To claim your free guide, go to liveloveengage.gift. That's liveloveengage.gift.